Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve and your midweek political check-in. Broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform, we're slogging through another political swamp thick with nonsense and bad intentions. Let's cut through the poo-poo and throw a little light on the chaos before it buries us all. We don't care if you chew gum during the podcast, but no blowing bubbles. All righty then, without further ado, here's Nick and Bubbles. Steve. Holy moly. Take it away, gentlemen.
You always wonder, who the hell is Bubbles?
Steve Harness.
That's right. We call him Bubbles. I don't know why, dude, but we do. So, no blowing bubbles, and welcome to the podcast. The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve back at it for a midweek political review.
Yeah. Is this what happens when we let AI write our opening?
What are you talking about, dude? I wrote that.
Where do bubbles come from? Where in the depths of your brain?
That's a great question, dude. I couldn't tell you. You know I'm freaky like that.
Something tells me you had just been hearing bubbles. As in like...
yeah, who knows? Maybe so. Could have happened. I'm not going to deny it.
Right. Yeah, welcome everybody. It's a Tuesday. I almost said it was Friday, but that's wishful thinking now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we got a website, thevocalminority.net. If you would like to message us, which a lot of you have been, and we appreciate that, just go there. And you're smart people, you'll figure it out from there. I think there's a contact thing or something. I don't know.
Yeah, people are writing it, dude. You always say, who goes to a webpage? But we've been getting emails from fans or friends, I guess we should call them. And people are writing in, dude. So, yeah, go to the webpage. We'd love to hear from you guys.
If you give them a reason to specifically go to a website. Otherwise, I kind of feel like going to websites has somehow gotten passe. It's very late 90s, you know.
You don't go to websites every day, dude?
No, I use apps on my phone, like go to a website. I mean, when I'm researching news, yeah, but otherwise,
of course,
no,
yeah.
No.
Dude, websites are not a thing of the past. I promise you, like people definitely use apps, but people are on their laptops every single day doing
stuff. All right, Grandpa, that's fine.
All right. Well, yeah, call me what you will. But you should call us Nick and Steve. Welcome to the Vocal Minority. People already piling into the chat as we do this Tuesdays and Fridays for the Really American platform. And we're glad you're along for the ride.
Yes, we are. And I thought I would join you guys today. Hey there, it's good stuff. Do the usual roll call, check in from wherever you guys are at, and, you know, get vocal. It's the whole freaking name of the game, and that's why we have the comment section going, and we're allegedly working on a way for you people to, like, maybe call in or something. Something so old school that it's new again, since Nick and I started this as a call-in talk radio show, Radio Kids.
Yeah, why do you say allegedly? You feel like I'm dropping the ball on it?
No, I just will believe it when I see it. Okay. Listen, I know our software says it offers it, but we have found some flaws with this whole thing. So I'm just saying.
All right.
I'll believe it when I see it, and we look forward to letting people chime in. But in the meantime, comment section is the way to go.
All right. Well, I hope everyone is off to a good week here. You know, on Tuesdays, we always say, God, it's only Tuesday. And this week is not an exception to that rule. So let's get into a little news here and pile on some depression.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Rhode Island saying hello, Denver, hello from Ireland, and I think we've talked about this town before, haven't we? Lititz, Pennsylvania? Lititz.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. Yeah. We like to say it. People love to say it, Steve. People love to say it.
How do you comment on this news? Someone says, Russia also wants to kidnap the president of Armenia now that it's fashionable. Well, that is the problem we've created now, isn't it? How do we possibly have the moral high ground anymore? How do we tell one country not to invade another or kidnap someone? If anyone wants to kidnap our leader, like, I don't have the authority to stop you, but apparently that's okay. So, just saying.
Yeah. No, we have created somewhat of a fad that I'm embarrassed that we've created, right?
Yeah, well, hey, just wait till we go take Greenland, because it's on my list today, because that will blow up the NATO alliance, and then it's just every man for himself. So, there you go.
Well, we'll get all into all that.
Oh, hey, speaking of world domination, hi from Germany. At least you guys learned your lesson. To them, that's ancient history. For us, it's current events. We're slow learners.
Told you when I was in Germany last year, dude, that people were like, what are you guys doing, dude? Like, Rachel and I went to a museum. It was all about World War II and about Nazis and everything else, concentration camps. And it was, I mean, obviously, that is heavy shit, dude. But as we were going through the history, I was just like, oh, there's a parallel. There's a parallel. And people are saying it right there in Germany. So, yeah, that's not hyperbole.
Right. Yeah. Here's another hi from Germany. This guy, Noodle Fence. If you try to kidnap the U.S. president, you have to deal with the beast. First of all, I'm not suggesting anyone kidnap him. I'm saying some foreign world leader apparently could do it. And the beast, I believe that's the president's limousine thing, right?
I have no idea what that is. I thought they were talking about junior dictator.
No, he's not a beast. That's what they call the president's armored limousine thing. But I saw a movie with Channing Tatum and Gerard Butler, whatever that guy. Like, I've seen many movies that find a way to get around all of that stuff. So,
Well, as you can see, we just did it, dude. You know, so
right. And apparently, we used a sonic weapon. I saw some pundit on Fox News the other day kind of laughing about that, people bleeding from their ears. But we can't figure out if that story's real or not. So
we can't. But, I mean, Caroline Lyon Levitt came out and said, like, you have got to look at this. And I'm just thinking to myself, we had a brief conversation about it. I'm like, that's some scary shit, dude, because if that technology is real, I don't think it would be hard. All you would have to know is how to tune a frequency, right?
I suppose. I mean, we heard about it in Havana. But I don't know if we're using it. I don't know if people are bullshitting. Who knows? Here's somebody saying hi from Minneapolis. Hey, Minneapolis. I've got friends and family in your town there. Been there several times. Feel bad for everything going on. I did a story for Really American yesterday about the ICE protests. And I narrowed it down to just Minnesota because I figured nationwide protests were happening. But let me just pull one or two videos from Minneapolis. 78 videos later of ICE doing crazy shit. I just put it all in one big, you know, montage. So,
yeah, it's crazy, dude. Last Friday on the podcast, we talked a little bit about J.D. Vance went on TV and he was saying that, oh, you know what? When we start hiring more ICE agents and we start going door to door to grab people, things will be happening so much more efficiently. And, you know, we're going to get a ton of people out.
It's my understanding that's not legal to do. Not that this administration respects the rule of law, but I was reading yesterday the Fourth Amendment, you know, searches and seizures, that just existing on a street does not give them reason to go knock on your door. I mean, that seems correct. That seems like the American way. But yeah, our vice president did literally just suggest that, which, speaking of Germany chiming in here, I believe that, you know, is what their club used to do.
It's exactly right, dude. You know, people were hidden like Anne Frank, and that's a real deal. Let me tell you this, dude, that I came across this guy in my neck of the woods, and I went in to investigate a little further. But first, listen to what he has to say about all this.
A trusted source on the ground over there in Tacoma, Washington, on the west side of the state, I'm on the east side, says that they are starting door-to-door operations today. Their home was, ICE tried to enter their home to look for undocumented immigrants without a warrant. So it's happening. This is Minnesota, Washington, and Oregon as well are all seeing ICE go door to door without warrants and knocking down doors looking for immigrants.
So J.D. Vance stated on Fox News January 7 that ICE will ramp up agents, what I just talked about. He then went on to defend this on January 8th amid Rene Good shooting's backlash, focusing on criminal illegal aliens. Are we seeing this? It doesn't look like it as of now because, oh, look at this, dude. Confirmed door-to-door reports. Minneapolis, Los Angeles, North Carolina, Portland, Oregon, Chicago, and D.C.
Was that video you displayed from Tacoma, Washington? Is that where that guy said he was?
Yeah.
Well, joke's on ICE then. You don't want to go door-to-door in Tacoma. There's nothing good there.
The
reason they call it the aroma of Tacoma. So, wait, really, confirmed reports of them just knocking door-to-door.
Yeah, just I mean, and a lot of the time without warrant. You know, we're seeing a lot of people say, "Oh, these are your rights," but I'm telling you guys, and I'm sure you know, it's not like I'm telling you something new. Rights don't seem to really matter right now. Steve did a video last week for Really American where somebody ordered DoorDash, and the DoorDash lady jumped into their house, and ICE was there ready for them. They didn't have a warrant, and she held her ground, and they ended up leaving. That's not the case always, dude.
No, for sure. And, you know, it's the classic case I talk to my kids about. Like, you can know your rights and you can stand for them, but often you just create more problems because the cops kind of have you by the nuts at that time. And Larry chiming in, 5 minutes gone by and this show is biased. Yeah, no shit, asshole. We're biased towards the truth, towards the facts, towards having two eyes to work. So, but no, we make no secret here. We're a progressive show. So.
Well, I don't know how he would make that assumption already, though, because we're just reporting what's happening.
If we're not licking Trump's taint, you know, using the airwaves here, then apparently we're biased. I've had this discussion with so many people. Just telling the truth nowadays make you biased?
Yeah.
Just stating the obvious facts, does that make you biased? Just reading a news headline that they don't like make you biased?
Right. That's some crazy shit, Larry. Or, you know, that's crazy, dude. Yeah. These are confirmed door-to-door reports. And not only is that happening, I can tell you that there have been 150 arrests Renee Good in Minneapolis. Los Angeles, 11 arrests on January 10th. These are knock, go looking for people. And yeah, the list goes on and on. So not only are they knocking door to door, but people are being treated beyond poorly that are out, protesting these ICE agents and the damage that they're doing to our communities. This first one I'm going to show you, Steve, is from a priest. Okay. This was his experience, and yeah, I thought this was wacko, dude.
So as I arrived at church yesterday, I noticed that there was something going on just a block and a half from the church. And so I grabbed my whistles because we're used to doing that. And I went down to see what was going on. And I realized it was an ICE raid. And there were many, many protesters. So I joined the protesting. And before I knew it, I saw ICE agents circling a young woman who appeared to be Hispanic.
An ICE agent literally came over to me and said, "What did you say?" I said, "I am not afraid." And they pointed a gun in my face. ICE put handcuffs on my hands and put me in a black SUV. And then a few moments later, they came back and they said, "Are you afraid yet?" And I said, "No." And then they said it. "Well, you're white. You wouldn't be fun anyway."
Wow. A priest getting molested. That's a twist on things. But
yeah, I don't doubt anything he said, you know, for a second. I mean, no. It sounds like everything that's kind of playing out right now. So
absolutely. And I'm pretty sure he's been trained not to lie. So
yeah,
there's that. You know, this is the epic problem we have created for ourselves. The old, like, ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Yeah.
That is the mantra of Trump world. But they are experts at delaying everything in the courts. Yeah. So, yeah, they wave guns in people's faces constantly. I've done multiple videos on that topic on this channel. A lot of it on film, unlike the good father there, or priest or reverend, whatever the hell he was. But yeah, I mean, how do you have accountability when they just do whatever the fuck they want to do, and then we all try to figure it out later?
Yeah. You did another video that was ICE agents showing up to a restaurant in large numbers for intimidation purposes only. This happened maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, sandwich shop.
Yeah, so we're seeing all these ICE agents trying to do, you know, just kind of harass people and really scare them into submission.
Yeah.
They like that. This is a Marine that had, well, I don't know if it's a similar experience with ICE. It's a fucked up one, though.
They said, "Have you not learned? This is why we killed that lesbian b-." So first off, I'm a United States Marine veteran. We were following them from a safe distance.
Following ICE agents.
Yep. They stopped in the middle of the road and reversed on 62. They tried to ram our car. They broke my window. They yanked me out by my neck. They threw me to the ground. They stomped on me. They pushed my face into the ground. They put the cuffs on as tight as possible to the point where it took 6 agents to try to get them off.
As they're doing this, are they saying anything?
Yeah, they were calling me a bunch of derogatory names, calling me it. They tried to break my ankle. When he turned my ankle all the way around, I screamed, and he said, yeah, I bet you f***ing like that, don't you? I took an oath. And it's the oath that they're spinning on and stomping on. This isn't Germany. They're Gestapo. They think that they're above the law. They don't care.
No
offense to Germany, who's watching. Pretty soon people are going to start saying, this isn't America. You can't just do that kind of crap to people.
I feel like they're already doing it, dude.
But again, yeah, I believe that kid, even though he looks like he's 12, saying that they killed that lesbian bitch. And I, you know, that video I was talking about that I did at the start of the show, I had at least 3 different clips of ICE agents in Minnesota saying some version of, didn't you all learn your lesson from what just happened this week? Didn't you learn your lesson?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, obviously they're referring to Renee Nicole Good, and obviously they're referring to the fact that they can just shoot people and that there will be no accountability. The administration will lie for them and claim they have immunity. I mean, so, yeah. You would think that this would maybe have them all take it down a notch, but they've gone quite the opposite. Although I do have a story talking about the fact that, let's see here, Good's killing has heightened tensions nationwide, particularly in Minnesota. An ICE agent told the Daily Beast the drivers were increasingly driving by them, making a gun sign with their hands as they passed by ICE patrols in the street. Jesus. The hostility is such that polling suggests many Americans now wish to see ICE scrapped altogether. So on one level, this is getting through to these agents. I don't know that they really give a crap, nor am I encouraging you to make a gun motion at them, because who knows what they could do back to you. But it is starting to make some of them not sleep quite as well at night. But as we've said many times in the show, all of these guys are douchebags, because if they wanted to be legit law enforcement, they would join, you know, the local police force, sheriff, you know, state police. But no, they're joining the bully squad.
You're 100% right. Billy Brown, 6546, ICE are untrained, dangerous posers. And to that point, Billy Brown, I want to remind everyone that's, you know, watching or listening to the pod, it takes 3 times longer to become a certified groomer to groom Shih Tzus than it does to become an ICE agent.
Well, did you hear the number of days now that they're required to have training?
What is it?
I'll give you one guess. What number would Trump assign?
47.
Yes.
Jesus.
It used to be significantly longer, and then they backed it down to 47 days because Trump's favorite number now is 47. That's seriously not a joke.
Becoming a McDonald's manager takes 4 times the amount of training that it does to become an ICE agent with a gun. How about somebody who does your nails? Okay, you would have to go to school for 3 times the amount of time that it takes you to become an ICE agent with a gun.
My niece is trying to get her esthetician's license. She's been at that thing for like 6 months or something. I mean,
yeah, that's unbelievable.
It truly, truly is. I thought cops didn't even have to go for that long. ICE agents are even less.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jonathan Ross, which is the name of that douchebag that shot Miss Good, he is a 10-year veteran, but that just shows you on one level, like, it doesn't matter how long you've been trained if you're out there with that mindset.
Right.
You fucking bitch that I can just shoot you dead in the street because I stepped in front of your car. And, you know, I've heard a lot of smart people the last week or so say, listen, maybe the first shot he fired could be debatable because this law is about how they feel. You know, do they feel threatened? So the first shot, okay, if you want to say that's debatable. The second shot, the third shot, as he's standing on the side of the car.
And then a fucking bitch to boot?
Right.
Yeah.
As we said last week on the show, like, that just speaks to his mindset. He's just a thug, and he looks at all of us citizens as just little bugs in their way. And this is certainly the cult mindset over there.
The Trump Reaper, Jonathan Ross, is lying about having post-traumatic stress disorder. J.D. Vance came out and said that. I mean, he didn't call it PTSD, but he was like, he was just dragged 6 months ago. You think he's a little sensitive?
Yeah, then take him off the streets.
Right. Unfortunately, you don't get to be sensitive. You know, we've talked about this before. Your dad's a doctor. Sorry, he doesn't get to have bad days. You know what I mean? Like, he has a responsibility. He took an oath. So there you go.
Yep, spot on. And speaking of polling, as I mentioned in that thing, and this will probably be of no shock to anyone watching this right now, but Americans favor the filing of criminal charges against U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent Jonathan Ross for the killing of Renee Nicole Good, with a whopping 23-point spread, yes versus no responses. And as we often talk about in this show, whenever you can get the majority of Americans to be on the same page for almost anything, it's few and far between. So the fact that the majority would say, prosecute the guy. And this was, 53% answered yes, 23% or 30% said no, and 23% said they weren't sure.
State the question again.
Should we charge Jonathan Ross with something, with some sort of charges? So 54% said yes, 30% said no, and 23% said they weren't sure. So, majority and not shocking at all. I am getting a little sick. I keep hearing this week that this video of her being shot is a political Rorschach test, that depending upon which side of the political aisle you're on, you will see it differently. And I call bullshit on that. It is an empathy test, or maybe a vision test. It's not a political Rorschach test, you know?
No, dude. And that's exactly what it's been turned into. And that's not okay, dude, that when we see something with our eyes, everyone should see the same thing. I mean, if you want to see tiny little differences in something based on perspective and life experience, that's one thing. But politics aside, we all saw the same thing, and we know it. You are bowing and listening to your king. You remember that kid that we've looked at who sits down and talks with his mom, and he's, I don't know, he feels like an 11 or 12-year-old kid who his mom talks to him. I have the video of that most recent clip that I sent you, and I want to show it to you only because I think this kid makes an excellent point of exactly what's going on when people are looking at this video.
Yeah, this made me want to cry when you showed it to me, but yeah, go for it.
Could you see her hands on the steering wheel? Okay, pause it. So you can clearly see her steering very violently out of the way in order to avoid hitting the officer. Like, this isn't just steering. She is steering like this. A normal person with critical thinking skills should be able to change their perspective and say, wait a minute, it doesn't look like she was going right at him. She was turning and change their perspective on the story. Why is it important to talk about this kind of stuff and not ignore it?
But people don't want to know the truth sometimes. I'm getting off topic.
No, I think it's right.
Because people don't want to believe the truth sometimes, which is why they force themselves into believing this stuff.
And it is my responsibility to make sure you hear the whole story so that you can use that amazing common sense brain, critical thinking brain that you have to come to the right conclusions. Because if you don't, then you're always only going to believe one thing and you turn into someone who is full of hate and has no empathy. And now this lady's child doesn't have a mother.
Oh, look at this.
I don't know what I would do if I lost
it. Poof. Dude, he's exactly right, dude. People lie to themselves. They don't want to believe the truth to separate themselves from their party and their king, you know?
Yes. And like she said, they convince themselves of the truth and they don't have empathy. And the look on that little boy's face when he has to imagine what it would be like if it was his mom that had gotten shot that day and then he just lost his mom. Like,
yeah.
That's what Renee's kids are going to grow up to, that reality. I mean, I don't know.
Dude,
on one level, I'm glad. Glad is not the right. I mean, she is going to be a cultural icon. I mean, at least there's some solace in that. I even feel weird saying it like that. Like, I hope you know my point here is.
But yeah.
I'm glad that we're all supporting his mother. I'm glad that we're not letting her memory die. I'm glad that this entire world is fighting for her. Right. Obviously, I wish we didn't have to have that fight or that conversation, but there are other people that ICE have abused and or shot. I mean, the list, I've seen the reports of how many people have died in ICE custody or have been shot, and we don't know their names. We don't get to cheerlead for them.
That's
so.
Right. Yeah. No, I do understand what you're saying. You and I collectively, we know a liar. I mean, we know a liar personally that lies about everything. We were just having this conversation about the fact that when you lie so frequently that you do start to believe your own lies, dude, that somehow it's almost like it reprograms your brain that you can make your own reality. And I feel like that's what's happening here.
Yeah, I think that is MAGA world in a nutshell. I have always questioned, does Trump really know he lies constantly? Or just is his brain so warped that anything that is not fitting into his narrative, anything that doesn't compute with him, he just on some level actually feels like I can't be wrong. No, why would I admit I'm wrong? I cannot. I'm incapable of being wrong.
Yeah.
Therefore, he just spits out things that his brain thinks is true. Like, none of that justifies it. But on some curiosity level, I'm like, do you know you're a fucking liar, or are you just so twisted that that's all that comes out of your mouth?
Right. Thank you, Ma. Good and God bless. And these, you know what? I'm not a parent. But I would imagine that if I was, I'd be having similar conversations with my kids. I think it's really important. I've seen you do it with your own. So, yeah, that's part of the resistance. That's how we fight back. We are raising the future and hopefully someone to take the baton and move us forward to a better place. So those are important conversations for sure.
They are. My therapist always tells me that when, adversity hits you, when bad things in life happen, that the best thing you can do for your kids is model good behavior, model how do you push through these times and show them by proxy, like how to stand tall and through adversity. And I'm always like, I hate that I'm the one that has to show my kids that.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's been constant for me in the last several years of my life. But yeah, you know, I guess that is all you can really do.
Yeah, 100%, dude.
Susan says that's narcissistic personality disorder. He can't be wrong. I really do think that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a clinical diagnosis for it, dude. So what is this here, dude? Renee's family GoFundMe reached over $1 million. They're giving the rest to all other victims' families. We are not the same as them. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, it's very true. You notice Erica Kirk didn't ever say, like, okay, I've raised enough money off my dead husband. I'm going to stop now. Yes. I'm going to give the rest to charity. She's just raking it in. But yeah, the Good family was like, wow, we raised over $1 million. And they said, we're putting it into a trust for the kids. Please send any other money to charitable donations.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, I am so over this concept that there's good people and bad people. We both have right and wrongs. Each side of the story is equal. No, it's not fucking equal. Not. If I'm debating a flat earther, I don't have to give their argument equal credibility to what science tells us. And it's the same thing with us versus them. And I know they would sit there and say the same thing, but that's what a cult does to you.
100%, dude. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, I agree with that. I mean, there's not much more to say on that. 100%. Hey, dude, this is a fantastic thing. Well, I shouldn't say it like that. This really caught my ear when I saw it. I saw this lady post this video and she was like, that whole trend of like, do I pick the man or the bear for women?
Yeah, so if you had to be stuck alone in the woods, would you rather be stuck alone with a guy or a bear?
Yeah, and she was like, you know what? At least the bear doesn't call me a fucking bitch after he kills me. And I'm just like, wow, dude. I mean, women are... they're being forced to stand up and change their perspective on this fight. I mean, they're fighting the same fight we are, but I feel like at the same time, they're fighting a very different fight that we don't have to necessarily fight. It's nice to get in on it, but all these women seem to be taking this new trend where they're going and showing how powerful they are. Did you hear about it?
No.
I mean, these women are going to gun ranges, learning how to shoot weapons, and basically telling, like, this MAGA side, like, you guys think liberals don't own guns. You guys think we won't fight back. And you definitely think women are not going to fight back. And the statistics, I sound like Trump now because I don't know the actual number, but the statistics are growing of women feel the need to learn how to protect themselves and fight back. So I guess we're seeing it a lot more now.
Well, it's true, and it's a classic case with women or minorities that, you know, most of the J6 rioters were Caucasians. If that many black people showed up with guns, what do you think the average, you know, elected official in the Republican world would have done?
Right.
Or if that many women show up to a, you know, anti-abortion rally or some, or pro-life, or pro-choice rally. You know what I'm trying to say. I didn't get much sleep last night. But, I mean, empowerment is certainly a good thing. And I've also said for years that the reason we're never going to just take guns away in this country is plenty of Democrats own them too. We just don't worship them. We don't jerk off with them. We don't fetishize our guns. It's like a tool. You know, I don't worship my hammer, but I have one. So, you know, Democrats can have a gun sitting in the drawer in case you ever need it. Doesn't mean we attend rallies. It's not on my T-shirt. Like, you know, that's, again, the stark difference there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We just don't sit and talk about it all the time, for crying out loud. We're not, it's not something to be proud of, right?
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of not being proud of things, so America. So I did a video for Really American a few days back, maybe it was over the weekend, about that it pains me. And you and I started talking about this last week, actually. I think that's where it started, that, you know, we're kind of looking at a boycott of tourism for America, that we're trying to tell people that it's not safe here. It's not safe for us citizens. How the hell do you think it's going to be safe for you?
Right.
Especially if you're not white.
Yeah.
And, you know, asking for all your social media, charging more to get into parks, charging more for visa applications. Like, the reasons not to come to America just keep getting longer and longer. And then over the weekend, I started to see this whole FIFA boycott happening.
Yeah.
Because we're hosting a lot of the World Cup games, not all of them, but that's a much bigger international draw than it ever will be domestically for soccer, football,
yes,
whatever you call it. So it's really interesting. So far, according to a report by Roya News, just shy of 17,000 ticket holders just over the weekend have canceled their World Cup tickets for games here in America.
Wow. That's a good start. When is that supposed to happen? Do you have any idea? I don't.
No, I mean, I know it's coming up this year, and I know at least one of the matches is in Seattle.
Yeah.
And Trump tried to throw you guys under the bus that Seattle was some desolate hellhole.
Very desert. Dangerous, Steve. Seattle's very dangerous.
But I would tend to agree. I'm not trying to hurt blue states or blue cities or anything else, but right now, I say it because America is broken and is dangerous.
Yeah.
And just in the past couple of weeks, I've just seen more and more people start to talk about that, just how freaking broken we are and how unsafe we all feel. And so I would never normally say boycott America for tourism, but sure seems like the prudent thing to tell people.
Completely. I mean, we, like you said, citizens don't know what's going on from day to day. So, I mean, if I had someone I cared about in another country, I would say, like, yeah, don't come over here right now, dude. I mean, let's wait a little bit and see how things go. But, you know, that's another question for you. We talked a little bit about it on Friday. Are we done? I mean, is the America that we once knew and loved, will it ever be the same again, Steve? I want your prediction because, well, I respect your predictions.
Thank you. Well, FIFA always have their illustrious Peace Prize ceremony. Yeah, a little bit of irony of them handing that thing out. Is America done? No. Are we on the ropes? Is it the bottom of the ninth inning or whatever? I don't have any sports analogies I can mix in here. Do we need to throw a Hail Mary? Are we calling a pinch hitter? I don't know. Are we done? No. Are we freaking in the worst hole we've ever been in? Yeah, I kind of think we are, as far as our version of democracy and what we're supposed to be. But I can't just completely give up hope. I mean, we'll see if Trump does try to cancel the midterm elections this year, as a lot of people are predicting he's going to try. That would not be a good thing for our democracy and hard to recover from. But the man is not going to live much longer, and MAGA cannot truly survive without him. So it's darkest before the dawn. You know, I mean, that's where we're at right now. And the only good thing about this is that it is uniting a lot of these people that you see it all in the comments sections, right?
Yeah.
You stand up and fight back. And, you know, it's what we have to do. And I don't mean it literally, like taking arms up. I mean, keep spreading the word, stay angry, stay diligent, talk to everyone about voting. Don't be shy about talking about politics. Screw this whole don't talk politics in social settings. Like, right. Stand up and fight back. Put a spotlight on all of this. And then come the midterm elections, we have a chance to freeze them. Current predictions say we could take as many as 30 seats from the House, even if Trump gerrymanders. Yeah. Alaska just nominated a woman who is a Democrat but is very popular up there. She could actually take the Senate seat, which would tip it, in theory, in our favor. That could be the one red state that we really need to take. So,
right.
As we've talked about repeatedly, like, the political pendulum just cannot be stopped. It will always swing both ways. And in this country, the party in power always tends to get screwed in the midterms, whether they're good or bad. So the pendulum will swing. Science, you can't stop it. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So we right. just have to keep this thing on life support long enough to save it. We got to get it to the hospital before it does die, because right now it's bleeding out.
100% right. We talked a little bit last week about the Democrats and vote blue no matter who. That is now more important than ever. You know what I mean? At that same time, oh, that's a great comment. Let the blue wave reign. And that's exactly what we want to happen. It's exactly what I want to happen. But I got to say, dude, that I'm disappointed in the Democrats. I'm disappointed in everybody, but I'm disappointed. I feel like we could be doing more. And that's, you know, I'm still going to vote blue no matter who, but this is a great sentiment from somebody that I hadn't really thought of myself, and it's pretty simple. Listen to what this girl has to say and tell me your thoughts on it.
Okay.
So if you go to C-SPAN's TikTok right now, you will see that Representative Hakeem Jeffries decided to have a little press conference and say the killing of Renee Nicole Good was an abomination. And he continues on to say shit that we all already fucking know. Stop fucking getting in front of all these fucking cameras and telling us, the people, what we already fucking know. If the motherfuckers in charge, that I'm pretty sure are getting paid from our tax dollars, are doing nothing more than what you and I are doing, talking to fucking cameras, then get the fuck out of the way. What is your fucking plan? You all are the ones who can go, hey, coworkers, let's do something, because this is our job. If you don't have anything to do other than get in front of a fucking camera, then you are no better than me. Move. I better not see another fucking representative. I don't even know what y'all do. Congress versus Senate? I don't fucking know. All I know is you're supposed to be doing checks and balances, bro. That's what they taught us in middle school.
Listen, I appreciate her passion, and I love that she's admonishing people for getting on camera while she's getting on camera, but short of Hakeem Jeffries becoming Batman, what are you hoping he will do? Like, we got our asses handed to us in the last election. We do not have control of anything right now.
Yep.
There is nothing we tangibly can do. And I mean, again, I appreciate the enthusiasm there and the sentiment behind it. And do stay angry and do keep calling your elected officials and post stuff like that online. Keep the pressure on them. But it is a reality that, you know, did that woman show up and vote? Did she encourage five of her friends to show up and vote blue no matter who? Or was she one of these, like, I don't love Hillary Clinton. I don't love, you know, Kamala Harris. Like, I am so sick of Democrats that are like, well, if I don't love the person, if I don't love them, I'm not going to get it out. Or if they don't promise this or that, I'm not going to get out. Like, people, it's good versus evil, okay? If the good is not good enough for you, you want to, by proxy, vote for the evil? So, listen, like I said, stay passionate, stay all motivated like that. But what could we do right now?
Mm.
What can elected officials do right now? Nothing. Unless a bunch of Republicans are going to grow a spine and see the obviousness of the fucking truth. We need majority rule. That's what the country is set up on. So what can we do right now? What are you suggesting Democrats do right now?
Stop advocating for party loyalty.
No.
Stop saying that, dude.
Dude, if we were running against John McCain or something, I would say, like, that's a normal, level-headed. I know he's dead, but you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
We're running against Satan here. So, yeah, it's party loyalty. If you want a third-party thing, you got to do that in the primaries. pick your crazy candidate, pick whatever extreme, middle, center, far left, like, and rally support in the primaries and get them on the general ticket. Then we will all support that person. But I am sorry, when it comes down to red versus blue, left versus right, you goddamn better get in line and vote blue. What is the alternative? This is what happens. We let a fucking monster get into the office.
Yeah. Yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, you know what? When we get things back to normal, you can go back to playing your games and having conversations. But yes, as of now, this is it, dude. This is it. This is our only choice. That's why people are feeling frustration, because, you know, they say beggars can't be choosers. But, you know, we want to choose. We want to choose for you to do more and do this. We just don't have that choice right now.
Yes. Listen, I understand the frustration, but goddamn, man, if you didn't vote blue in the last election, I really don't want to hear from you. I mean, we were harping, everyone was, at how dire the consequences would be, and no one really seemed to believe it. And we let the other team outvote us by one percentage point, and our freaking country is unraveling.
Yeah. And you know what? Usually we can look back on things and say, oh, you know, when Obama was president, everyone said, oh, we got too comfortable, dude. We thought everything was going to continue on like this. We just got too comfortable with the good life. This wasn't even that. This was the fact that somehow there was a good portion of people who believed the frickin' lie of Project 2025 in the Trump administration and thought, maybe I should give it a chance. Dumb motherfuckers. Right. God.
Listen, Andrew, I appreciate it, man. I don't want to hear about everyone who is supporting Schumer and Jeffries. Like, we've got the hand that we're dealt right now. You know, I mean, primaries are coming, elections are coming. You know, we can all vote to change things. But once you got whoever's piloting the plane, we kind of need to support them until we can land and reconfigure things. So
that's a good analogy. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else we could say besides that. Vote blue if you want to live. Okay, the Trump Reaper sums it up nicely.
Always coming in with a great knowledge, dude. The Trump Reaper.
Right. So I get it, but
yeah, no.
What's the alternative?
It's exactly right, dude.
Hey, we talk a lot about boycotts on the show. I was just talking about boycotting tourism for foreigners looking to come to America. Yeah. Heard about this Chipotle thing?
Mm-mm. You mentioned it to me earlier today, and I had no idea what you were talking about. So.
Well, so one guy who is, let me see here, his name is Bill Ackman, purchased a basically 10% stake in Chipotle back in September of 2026 at a cost of $1 billion. This made his hedge fund one of Chipotle's largest shareholders at the time. So this Ackman guy just donated $10,000 to ICE, and he wrote, "The whole situation is a tragedy." Adding that the officer was just doing his best job. He went on to refer to Good as, quote, "a protester who likely did not intend to kill the officer, but whose actions in a split second led to her death."
Okay.
So a lot of people are calling for a Chipotle boycott. Problem is, he's with a hedge fund that bought 10% of the company. He's not actually with Chipotle. Chipotle put out a statement today emphasizing Bill Ackman is not affiliated with Chipotle. Doesn't work here. He works for a hedge fund that was on the stock market and bought a bunch of our stock. Like, we're not responsible for this guy.
Right.
And this gets into a debate I've had before with people. Like, I love Wendy's. Apparently the guy that ultimately owns Wendy's is some conservative guy, but I don't see him on the news. I don't see him at Trump rallies. Like, does he spend his own private money to donate to a group? Like, maybe. I don't know. Like, right. How far do you – at least that guy's the owner of Wendy's. That would make some sense. This guy is an part of a hedge fund that invested in Chipotle. So do we hold Chipotle responsible for this guy's actions?
No, I don't think so, dude. I mean, this is where it gets so hard, is when things are happening with hedge funds and they're not actually the owners of the company. But you even look at that guy and be like, why are you supporting anything that belongs to MAGA? You know, this is what I would say, dude. If you're going to support MAGA and you have a hedge fund, you should just remain silent or pay the consequences, because some people are going to be pissed. And yeah, I don't know. For all of our attention spans, people aren't going to be like, oh, it's not really Chipotle's fault. You know, they're just going to do a ban on Chipotle.
I mean, they're a publicly traded company. They can't stop who buys their stock.
Well, I mean, that's the world we're living in, dude. I mean, I can't defend them. The people that listen to this podcast are not going to be like, you know, I'll make a very tiny dent if they are somehow associated. It's just like Hilton with this hotel who wouldn't let ICE stay in their hotel. Hilton immediately goes and they, you know, say, oh, you're not a franchisee anymore and we're taking down your sign. People are pissed at Hilton, dude. People, yeah. You know, so... Anytime you pop into the news for anything belonging to MAGA, and hey, let's for hell, the Democrats too, this is our new way to use our voices. Does it always work out right? No. We've seen it before. We're like, oh man, why'd you guys attack me? I didn't have anything to do with that. But it's just how we do it. It's a rush to judgment, and we fight the biggest recognizable name in the back, whether it's your fault or not.
Right. Tammy's chiming in. Jimmy Kimmel never left. He won fair. Zane boycotts work. I'm not refuting any of that, but it's just tough when somebody who buys stock in a company and the company has nothing to do with that person. Like, how far do we take some of these boycotts? Like, just throwing that out there for you to chew on. I don't actually eat at Chipotle, so I don't have to worry about it myself, but I get it. I mean, I guess if you don't support Chipotle, the stock goes down, and that hurts this Ackman guy, but you're also hurting everyone who works at Chipotle. You're hurting the other 90% of the shareholders, some of who may be gay, transgender, minorities, immigrants. Like,
no, Chipotle has been light on the beef as of late, dude. You know, just light. Give me some more beef with that burrito, dude. That's why I'm banned at Chipotle. So there you go.
All right. Well, here, I got a new thing. Do you have something else on this topic? Or
no.
I just want to point out that, as always, there's so much shit going on. It's hard to focus on any one moving dot. And yes, I've seen everyone in the comments here saying, you know, Epstein. Yeah. I know. It is all distraction. I don't doubt any of that. But it doesn't mean that we should just be ignoring these things. But we have spent many months on the show talking about these boat strikes off the coast of Venezuela and how, you know, fucked up that is, and how the Associated Press has found out that some of these people were just fishermen or just people that took $100 to go take the ride because they're trying to, you know, provide for their families. And
yeah.
So we got into this whole discussion a few weeks back when everyone realized that we killed two survivors. And, you know, Hegseth and the Department of Defense have refused to release that video, even though they release video of everything on social media, including those boat strikes. But
sure,
for some reason, they won't release that one because they know it looks bad. But there is a new ripple that came out yesterday, and I have hardly seen it get any attention today. But on that exact same incident, it appears, cut and dry, black and white, that Trump committed a whole different war crime.
Which is?
Well, let me explain it to you, because I never even heard of this term. You ever heard of perdify?
No.
I don't think you would have, nor would I have, but here's the breakdown. President Donald Trump's administration is now being accused of committing a war crime after new details emerged about that strike in the Caribbean. New York Times reported just yesterday that the DOD is now being accused of disguising a military aircraft as a civilian plane while carrying out that strike. Killed 11 people. Reportedly, they hid the munitions inside the plane so that it looked like a civilian plane.
Okay.
I did not know this, but according to military law, I'll quote this guy, Major General Stephen Lepper, retired, who worked at the Judge Advocate General's office, the JAG, told the Times that if the DOD conducted a strike with an aircraft disguised as a civilian plane, it would be considered a war crime under current armed conflict standards. Disguising a military plane to remove any military markings is a war crime called perdify. The concept being that if you're going to use the military to attack someone, you can't trick them into thinking you're civilians. You got to give them a chance to retreat or to surrender or to jump off the boat. If you sneak up on them on something that looks like a civilian airplane, It's just like someone walking up in street clothes and shooting you and then showing you a badge, you know, over your dead body. So the point is,
yes. On a simple level, I mean, it's almost like laws that we've talked about and known for a long time about unmarked police cars, right? And how it can be entrapment, that type of thing. Like, you got to show your true colors. Give me the opportunity.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, essentially, you're tricking people, and apparently that's a no-no in the world of war crimes. Because here's the thing, if we accept Trump's premise that we're at war with these people, which I don't accept the premise, but let's just say that we do, then you got to follow the rules of war, and we've got several people in the military as of today saying that didn't know this little detail, that would be a war crime. So they committed a war crime either by killing the two survivors when it was not an act of war, when we're not at war with them, or if you take their argument, well, then you committed a different war crime by for some reason disguising this plane as a civilian aircraft, which they have not done since that strike. Almost as if someone told them, hey guys, you can't do that.
That's really interesting, dude. I've never heard of this happening at all, and I wonder why they did it.
I would assume to sneak up on them, to guarantee the success or whatever. And the same article points out that apparently the people on this boat did see that plane, whether they knew it was military or not. They turned around and were heading back to Venezuela, and we still blew them up anyways. So I there seems to be like three different ways that this could be a war crime. Either the fact that they were retreating and you still tracked them down and blew them up, much like if someone breaks in your home and then runs, you can't chase them down the street and kill them. Or they killed survivors, which would be a war crime if you're not at war, or even if you are, quite frankly. Or this new thing. You can't disguise your plane as a civilian aircraft, hide all the guns and bombs, and sneak up on someone and not give them a chance to surrender or retreat or whatever else. So
yeah,
I'm curious if this will actually get any traction or attention, because we seem to have let the last one go as far as not releasing the video.
Yeah. It's this news cycle, dude. It just keeps going. We forget about stuff. I don't think it'll get any traction. I mean, we haven't been held accountable for anything else that we've done. So
how pathetic is that? I don't think this is going to get any traction. We just caught the president committing a war crime, but there's so much other stuff going on.
Yeah. Can you imagine if this were the thing that he got held accountable for?
Right. Hey, Lisa, she says I'm pronouncing it wrong. I asked ChatGPT how to pronounce it because I did not want to come on here and pronounce it wrong. So I don't know. You guys can all go double check the correct pronunciation of Trump's war crime.
Yeah.
But I was told the emphasis was on the second syllable. So it's perdify. Oh. But who cares? It's a war crime. So pronounce it however you want.
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome. And now you'll never hear about this again.
Never hear about it again, dude. It's not even real, for crying out loud. I've seen people in the chat want to talk about this, so I'm going to bring it up now. You talked a little bit about Epstein, and we've talked about Epstein on this program in a way that, yeah, this is nonpartisan. Bring the Democrats that did something with Epstein to the table and punish them, and do the same with everybody. Bill and Hillary Clinton refused to appear for subpoenaed depositions. I'll play a little video of what actually happened, and then we can discuss this because I have questions for you and want to get your thoughts.
Okay.
Voted on by the entire committee in a unanimous vote of the House Oversight Committee to subpoena former President Clinton and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Now, Hillary Clinton's supposed to show up tomorrow. We'll see what happens there. But with respect to the former president, he did not show up today. So no one's accusing Bill Clinton of any wrongdoing. We just have questions. And that's why the Democrats voted along with Republicans to subpoena Bill Clinton. Not a single Democrat showed up today. Not a single Democrat. The ones that have press conferences on the Capitol steps and talk about how they're trying to get justice for the victims and all that. It just seems like they only care about questioning Republicans. And we've had a former Trump cabinet secretary, Acosta, in for a grilling. We had Bill Barr, former attorney general, in for a grilling. But for whatever reason, President Clinton didn't show up, and the Democrats on the committee don't seem to have a problem.
Love to get your thoughts on that, dude. I have my own, but I imagine that we'll think in a similar fashion.
I mean, my first thought is this is careful what you wish for. Good enough for me, but not for thee. Just to remind everybody, Republicans who defied January 6th committee subpoenas, Jim Jordan refused to abide by the subpoena. Kevin McCarthy refused to. Scott Perry refused to. Andy Biggs, Mo Brooks, Mark Meadows. They all claimed it was that they didn't have to follow subpoenas. Right. So if nothing else, I find it humorous and ironic that now you're trying to use your subpoena power. And two people who, unlike you guys, are not elected officials anymore, told you to go pound sand, like, yeah, come after me. So, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I know the story's out there today. I have not done enough research as to what the Clintons are saying, as to why they're not showing up. But I, you know, on the list of the Epstein fouls, I don't care. As we have said before, show me that Bill Clinton was molesting children, and yeah, we'll disown him. I'm not a huge Bill Clinton fan nowadays anyways. I mean, I kind of gave up on him when he cheated on his wife in the 90s. So
yeah,
I'm not going to really defend Bill, but I just find it hilariously hypocritical that Republicans are whining about other people ignoring subpoenas when some of you still serving in Congress ignored your, you know, subpoenas that we sent you.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been saying that for a long time, dude, that MAGA is the party of hypocrisy. The Clintons claim no relevant info to provide, comparing their sworn affidavits to those accepted from other witnesses like ex-law enforcement and accused Comer of shielding Trump's allies while targeting Democrats. Which brings me to my point that I think, you know what, I don't want anyone shielded. And I think the reason for Democrats not showing up to this is because, once again, you're trying to run the narrative on this, that you are going to go after anyone that is a Democrat that you can possibly tie to these Epstein files. And right. And you should, but go after everybody. Stop trying to make this just a Democrat thing and do the right thing for the victims of all of this, for the law and order, and bring everybody in, dude. So when you're just bringing the Clintons in, you know, I'm not playing with it either.
No, I mean, they're clearly playing a partisan game. And yeah, you're right. Just subpoena everybody then. This attempt to just point the spotlight at Bill Clinton. Look at all these pictures. We're going to call him in to testify, but not any of the other people, not any of the Republicans. Like, I mean, it's another attempt to distract. And I have all the faith in the world that the Clintons have good lawyers working for them. And if they truly need to go in and testify, they will. And if they're hiding something, good. Screw them. Hang them out to dry. I'm fine with that.
100%, dude. Legally, refusing a congressional subpoena risks contempt charges, which is a misdemeanor, up to a $100,000 fine and a year in jail if the DOJ prosecutes. But former presidents often challenge via court, citing executive privilege. Past examples like Trump aides led to mixed outcomes. So, yeah, they're not going to get in trouble for this. And, yeah, what comes around goes around. Do it the right way and start bringing everybody in, dude. Stop picking on one side here to run your narrative, you asshats.
Yeah, totally. Violet's right here. Clinton already released a statement saying, release all the files, don't care, bring them on. That doesn't sound like a scared man to me. And by the way, you know, Epstein's brother, Mark, I think is his name, said that, you know, as far as I know, Clinton was never at that island.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
It's just, come on. And we've also learned of late, they have officially released 1% of the Epstein files that the DOJ has. So stop playing games, you know? So no. Do I care? No.
Nope. Exactly. All right. So hold fast. Clintons, hold fast.
Yeah. You want to hear some more creepy Trump world news, though? I mean, if you want to call people in to testify.
Yeah, please.
A former MAGA loyalist. This is a FAFO story. This is a former MAGA person. Okay. Says that she turned her back on Donald Trump after enduring rampant and humiliating sexual harassment at his Trump National Golf Club in New Jersey. This was not back in the 90s or anything. Okay. Maria Hadley, an events team member and banquet server at the Bedminster property, alleged in a lawsuit just filed in New Jersey court yesterday that female employees were forced to wear revealing uniforms several sizes too small. Meanwhile, men in positions of power at the resort tried to get underage female staffers drunk, fawned over, quote, sexy teenagers, and retaliated against employees who spoke out, according to this lawsuit. The 79-year-old president and his son Eric, both named in this lawsuit. Bedminster, by the way, costs $350,000 per year. And this woman, Hadley, a now former mega type, said, quote, I did not want the president that I believed in and voted for each time he ran to be shown in a bad light or lose face. But it got ignored. I am absolutely incensed. And there were reports from some of these women saying that the bartenders, that they would go up and order a, you know, Shirley Temple, and that if they didn't sit there and watch the bartender, they would put vodka in it. And this one bartender claimed that vodka gives you energy, help you work harder, kid.
Jeez,
like, dude. They were intentionally trying to get teenage girls drunk, and forcing them to wear, you know, revealing outfits that were three sizes too small. Guys obviously weren't doing the same thing. And this is at Trump's golf course. Almost as if he has created a culture of this sort of thing.
Yeah, almost if he's a creepy old Bill Cosby. You know? Yes. Yeah, we know what kind of guy Trump is. I mean, it's been said over and over again with proof, and no one seems to care, dude. But, yeah, this is another example, I suppose, of nastiness.
Sycophants and enablers. It's what he's got around him. Real quick, Rep. Randy Fine, Republican from Florida, has introduced a bill to make Greenland the 51st state. Caroline Leavitt said that there was not a timeline for the U.S. to take over Greenland, but that Trump has definitely said it's a priority for him. She said, quote, I think the president was very clear last night. He said that he wants to see the United States acquire Greenland, because he feels if we don't, the China and Russia will take them. Like, it is just sycophants and enablers. We now have a bill being introduced to just go take Greenland.
Yeah. That's insane, dude. That's insane. I almost don't believe you, but I know it's true. So,
yeah. Well.
We talked about a lot of shit today, dude. You know how, like, the Daily Show says, oh, this is your moment of zen, you know, and gives you a nice clip of something as we leave the show to make you feel a little bit better.
Sure. Do we? Is that possible nowadays?
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is my moment of zen, and I think you'll like it as well. So take a peek.
Biden, my tax may be for
it's ice falling on ice, dude. You know, we gotta love that.
That is karmic, cosmic.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I have seen that clip. It's actually in one of my videos I did this week. And that, I believe, is the second viral video of ice slipping on ice in Minnesota, which is a rather frigidly cold place. So, yeah, that is a little instant karma. Gives me faith the universe is watching, although his head is still intact, so.
You always wonder, are my prayers falling on deaf ears? And then you see something like that, and you're like, oh, no, you're listening. Okay, it just takes a little time.
I can only hope, if karma is really real, that some doctor stood up and was like, hey, let me check that guy out. And his fellow agents were like, don't care.
Nope.
Go away.
All right.
That would be the full karma circle. But,
indeed it would. Lots of people in the chat today, dude. We appreciate you guys, and thanks for listening to the podcast. This is The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Where can they reach out, Steven?
If you go to our website, thevocalminority.net, you can message us directly there. Find our social medias. We check them occasionally. But we're all over the Really American page. So if you comment there, we often read those as well. And please share all this stuff, whether it's the full podcast, the daily short form videos the hosts do. Like, we are independent journalists, progressive political commentators. We are on the right side of history, and we need your support. So we're just about to hit 1 million subscribers on Really American on YouTube, and that's a big deal. So help us get there.
Yeah, once we do that, the growth, I mean, it's crazy what it'll do for our movement. So thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next time.
And that'll do it for another edition of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for joining us on the Really American Media platform. Check out all our social media wherever good social media is found. Until next time, you tiny little bastards, good day.
Good day.
And we say bye-bye.